I want to emphasize that the prophetic scholarship and analysis and vision of W.E.B. Du Bois of years ago is of Twitter age relevance today. What I mean by that is when he spoke about a double consciousness of African Americans, that is probably far more true now, that race and ethnicity and religion is refracted through a pluralistic and ever more diverse America. And the challenges that he wrote about years ago in terms of the franchise, criminal justice reform, lynching, those issues are quite different today, but they are very much issues today. And so the NAACP, we refer to the crisis in blue, the crisis in American police departments, as driving a form of 21st century police, a 21st century lynch. So in other words, when a young black man is 21 times more likely to lose his life at the hands of the police, and where people have their lives taken in ways that are captured on viralized and violent videos, and when humanity is reduced to a hashtag, and where we have a generation of young activists having to assert what should be morally obvious and axiomatic, namely that black lives matter. The lynching that W.E.B. Du Bois wrote about and spoke about and advocated against at the turn of this century, in the 1900s, is entirely relevant, having well turned the century in 2000. So his descriptions of the importance of the ballot are all the more important, is all the more relevant, where we've seen voter suppression from one end of the republic to the other, where we, when the NAACP secured 9 court victories against voter suppression in the course of 10 months of a presidential campaign, critically important. This lecture is an opportunity for me, on behalf of the NAACP, to not only invoke the moral lineage and intellectual legacy of W.E.B. Du Bois, but to make the point that we have a generation of millennial activist scholars on college campuses all across the country who have an opportunity to make his vision true in their time, in their way.
So the Berkshire County chapter of the NAACP is active in a lot of issues, on one being that they recently protested on was school-to-prison pipeline. How does this notion reflect in maybe your conversation at large on college campuses?
Sure. The school-to-prison pipeline operates in a brutally efficient way. Namely, the school-to-prison pipeline begins not in school, but rather preschool. That is to say, we see racial disparities in discipline beginning in preschool, before children are able to even read and compute. And it operates in ways that make it clear that when our schools fail our children, they're often pushed into alternative schools. The alternative schools become the on-ramp to the juvenile justice system, and the juvenile justice system representing the express lane to the adult correction system. But it begins with disproportionate and discriminatory discipline with respect to children of color. And so where you have our branches, not only locally but across the country, protesting, demonstrating, writing legislation, advocating for regulatory and statutory reform, this has everything to do with the fact that we know if you can dismantle the school-to-prison pipeline, we can do something about the fact that we have 2.2 million Americans behind bars, including 1 million fathers behind bars, 70 million Americans with a criminal record. We have 25% of the world's prisoners, though we, as a country, that is America, represents 5% of the world's population. But it begins with the school-to-prison pipeline. And so they're right to protest, right to demonstrate, but they're also right to be encouraged. Meaning when we look at the state of Florida, by way of example, we've seen other school suspensions decrease as a consequence of the NAACP's advocacy. And we have reason to believe that that can and is being done elsewhere around the country.